Today is my last week in our peace series. For the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about peace. For the 4 weeks before that, we talked about anxiety. And what we realized is that anxiety is opposite of peace. And peace is opposite of anxiety or worry or fear. When we look in the Bible, over 500 times in the Bible, the word peace mentioned. Whenever the Lord would appear to his people, he would say, "Do not fear. Peace be with you." Amen? So God is a God of peace. Now, in Asian cultures, peace is the highest value. In our culture, peace is a byproduct. What do I mean by that? In our culture, we don't really seek peace. We seek things that could bring us peace. Would you agree with that? Okay, so sometimes if I get a new car, I'll feel good, I'll have peace. If I get a great job, if my savings account is big, then I'll have a lot of peace. If I don't, so you see, in our culture, in the United States, peace is a byproduct. However, when we look at the Word of God, it says that we should seek peace and pursue it. What is peace? Peace is the soul's calmness in spite of life's storms, problems, and circumstances. It's the calmness of your soul, despised. Doesn't matter of what you're going through. Peace is not absence of problems. Peace is getting, and this is my phrase, I read it last week, peace is not getting troubled when going through trouble. Although I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil because you're with me and I got peace. You are in control, God. Someone says this, peace is that calmness of mind that is not ruffled by adversity, overclouded by remorseful conscience, or disturbed by fear. One thing I want to tell you, that Jesus never promised us a life without problems. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good courage, because I have overcome the world. So if you came to Christianity to escape from trouble, it's not going to happen. But one thing God says, one promise that he makes us, he says, although you go through trouble, I will be with you. You go through the water, I will be with you. You go through the fire, and I will be with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire and the Lord was with them. And the only thing that burned off was the ropes that were holding them bound. So God never promised us life without problems. However, he did promise us peace. Before Jesus left this world, after 3.5 years of ministry, he said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not like the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled." So he left us peace. Hallelujah. Peace doesn't come with the absence of storm. It comes in the presence of storm. When everything is going good and you're all peaceful and happy, that's not where people judge you by. People judge you, and God judges you by, when things are bad, how will you react? And every one of us will experience those things in life. Things happen. It will rain. Jesus said it will rain. But what foundation will you build your life on? On the sand? On the rock. Rock is Jesus Christ. Sand is all those world philosophies. There are so many of them. They're confusing. Right? Build your life on the world philosophies. Sand, they change. They're confusing. Build your world on Christ, on the rock. And there is this song. On Christ the solid, rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Build your life on Christ, church. Amen. Build your life on the Word, on the rock. You will not be moved. Your house will not be moved. Amen. I'm a witness to that. Today, I'm going to continue with 4 points on how to get peace. Last week, we only tackled one, but today, I'm going to try to go through 4. We'll see what happens. I might have to email you the rest of my message. Point number one, last week, we talked about that our peace comes from the God of peace. We read Isaiah 48:17, it says, if you would heed to my commandments, your peace would be like the river. What does the word heed means? If you would look to my commandments, if you would pay attention to my commandments. Guys, sometimes religion tells us that we should follow the commandments before we are transformed by those commandments. Notice what Jesus says. It didn't say here, if you follow my commandments, but if you heed to my commandments. What is the difference? A lot of people follow God's rules, not knowing why, what, or how. My dad taught me to do this, so I have to do this. See, whatever we look at is what transforms us. If you look to the Word of God will begin to transform you. And when it transforms you, you begin to react accordingly, because how you think is going to be how you act. But what if you act without thinking yet? See, if we watch television a lot, we will begin to be transformed by that world mentality, because television shows us the world mentality. And then eventually we'll begin to act by how we think. We do get brainwashed. We get brainwashed by the world, or we get brainwashed by the Word. That's why the Bible says, wash yourself with the Word of God. There's no middle. You are washed by the world, or you are washed by the Word of God. So whatever washes you gets in you and begins to transform you. You begin to act like what you see. What are you looking at? That's how you will act eventually. And although you're acting certain ways, but if you're looking at certain way, there's different things, you'll start acting like based on what you look. Amen? Amen. So that's what last week was. Now this week, point number two, I want to start with a story. And this might be embarrassing, but I don't mind. I tell you a lot of embarrassing stories about me. This happened many years ago, and my stories a lot of times happen during work. I'm not going to tell you my private stories at home, but I can tell you my my work stories. When I started a business, when I was young, a few years into the business, I landed a big contract with a developer. And this developer had a lot of property, not just in Sioux Falls, but all around and far away. And what we would do is we would cut trees for them in the ditches, in these empty properties, you know, remove that. And one day, the guy who hired me from this company, he said to me something innocent. He said to me, just add 25% to the bill so you can spray the stumps after you cut the trees. Because if you cut the trees but don't kill the stumps, the trees will grow back, especially little trees, sucker growth. That which is wise, right? If you're going to pay the money to cut the trees, might as well kill the stump. I didn't think nothing about it. I added 25% to the bill. After I got paid, he came to me and says, listen, I don't want you to spray the trees. Why don't you just give me the check? I know a guy. His name is Tony. He's licensed. I'm like, I'm licensed too. But he's like, he got all the equipment. And I'm like, okay, fine. I don't have to buy extra spraying equipment to spray these stumps. And this is just extra work I don't want to do. So I wrote him a check for that 25% and give it back to him. Honest mistake. He thought, okay. Month later, he gives me another big project. And he says, add 25% to it. And I'm like, okay. All right, you know. And here I'm thinking, who is this Tony guy? Because I've never heard of this Tony spraying service. Something was telling me something's fishy happening here. So I add 25%. And at the end, he says, write me a check. Don't put Tony's name on it, but just leave it empty. And here I'm like, okay, this is really fishy. But I'm young, about 20 years old, starting my business, you know, a big contract. Thousands of dollars involved. And here God begins to speak to me. Why don't you go check on those jobs that you did? See if anybody sprayed that stuff. Because if you spray stumps, it kills the grass too. So you know what's happening. I go by that job. The stumps are not sprayed. I go by the second job. They're not sprayed. And so here this guy, nice guy, family guy, gives me a third job and says, hey, listen. And they get bigger and bigger. And if I add 25% and he doesn't like it, he says, just increase it a little bit. It's going to take you more work. And I don't know. I don't want to judge the guy. I don't want to say that he was a bad man. Maybe he meant to buy a sprayer and do it himself and make that extra money, which would be okay, right? So I'm not here to say that he was a bad guy. But Holy Spirit began to not give me peace. I almost can't sleep at night. I'm almost to the point like I'm going to this big job, which I should be happy about. And here I'm stressing out. I don't want to go there. I don't have any peace. God is saying to me, don't do it. Just have him write two checks. One to Tony, one to you, and that's fine. So I go to this third job, and Holy Spirit is speaking to me, do the right thing, Alex. Do the right thing. And I'm like, oh, no. If I do the right thing, I'll lose this big contract. You know how it is. You're just starting off. You don't have guarantee in business. So you have to kind of play your cards right. And God says, who does this business belong to? And at that time, I dedicated my business to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is not my business. Like, kind of like we dedicate our babies, although we still raise them and everything, but they belong to the Lord. Same thing. I dedicated my business to the Lord. I said, it's yours. You run it. You bless it. Whatever you want to do. So the Lord says, whose business is this? Yours. Okay, I dedicated it to you. Okay. So he's like, do what I said. I'm like, but I might lose this job. You know, the money is good. I fought it. I went to the estimate. Again, he showed me this big project, maybe a week or more to do. And I said, listen, he's like, at 25%. I said, I can't do that. I just don't feel comfortable. And I made up a story, you know, I don't know, blah, 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 my insurance, this and that. You know, I came up with some kind of a story. It was legitimate, but don't remember anymore. And he said, so you don't want to do it anymore. He got mad. I said, listen, I want the job, but I just can't add that. You know, just have Tony write him a bill and we'll be good. You know, Tony, the imaginary friend, Tony. He usually gives me a job on the spot when I add 25%. This time, he said, I'll call you back. And I'm like, oh. I'm driving home, mad. Lord, see what you've done? I lost this contract forever. Week goes by. He doesn't call me. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on. I call him back. He's like, I'm still working on it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Make some kind of excuse. He was going to be done with me. Something crazy happens, and this is not funny. But about 3 to 4 weeks later, the man has a heart attack and dies. I get a call from his, I didn't know he died. I get a call from his second in command. He calls me and says, listen, this man that you used to work with, he died. But there's this big project he was working on with you, and it didn't happen yet. I want you to go ahead and do that. Sad thing that he died. The good news is that for 10 years plus that I was in the company, 3 years I haven't been in the company anymore, but for next 10 years, every single year, that his assistant called me and said, do the work, do the work, do the work, and we kept that account. Now, this is one of those things. I've done some wrong things in my life, but this is one of those things I'm proud of. And this is one of those things when God's peace was removed from me, I listened. I'm so glad I did. And that's how I try to live my life. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. I'm not saying that to lift myself up. What I want to say is that God's peace will test you and protect you. Amen. Amen? So point number one, Bible says submit or yield to him and you will have peace. Job 22:21. Guys, put it on the screen. Job 22:21. Submit to God and you will have, say it, peace. Then all things will go well with you. One of the ways God speaks to us is through peace. You know, if we walk on a path that he designed for us, then his peace is present with us. As soon as we try to take an exit out of that place, he removes his peace. So as a Christian, you need to pay attention of what your peace says about you and to you. Some of us, we take our own path, our own highway, and we have no peace. Things are not going well, but we say we're going to plow through this. We're going to bulldozer through this thing. And that's a mistake because we end up opening the door that God never wanted us to open. You've probably experienced this in your life. I know I have. So God wants us to pay attention to peace. A lot of times, guys, can I use you as an example again? You're my example guy. Come on, Eric. The word of God says submit or yield. Sometimes God will say, okay, your flesh says you want to go this way, right? But God says you want to go this way. Okay? So God will put a little pressure. But flesh will also put pressure. Right? Come on. Come on. And Bible says yield. A lot of times our flesh wants to go one direction God wants us to go in another direction, and you will feel the push from God. How many of you ever felt that push? Go this way. Go this way. Don't go this way. Thank you, Eric. Right? Many times, God says to us, you're going too fast. Slow down. I'm not talking about driving, but it does happen too. Sometimes in life, God says, take a day off. Take a vacation. God, I can't afford it. I got to do so much. And God removes peace, but you plow through it. And then you end up in a hospital. So it's called a forced peace vacation. If you're not going to do it yourself, God is going to force you. And then you're going to read the Bible in a slammer or in a... A lot of people catch up on their Bible in a slammer. They do. No, seriously. I visit guys or ladies and they say, reading my Bible, Pastor. Reading my Bible. I'm like, wow, so the Lord put you in there just to get your Bible caught up because you haven't been reading. Right? God wants us to take a vacation. Otherwise, your body will give up and you'll be spending a week vacation. And it's a forced vacation. You don't want that kind of vacation. Do it on your own. Sometimes God will speak to you with peace and says you shouldn't eat that poison. You shouldn't drink that poison. Now, let me give you an example. Sometimes when I drink Diet Coke in the morning, I feel peace about it. But if I take a second one, a third one, and a fourth one, I have no peace. I'm like, ugh. Right? Sometimes that one drink is not going to do you. God is like, that's cool. But it's that second, third. Right? Sometimes that junk food, once in a while, it's okay. But if you eat it all the time, your body will begin to shut down. But I notice God cares about those little things. Like what we drink. Like, God, who cares what I drink? God, who cares that I go to McDonald's every day? No, He cares. Because He wants you to live a healthy, happy life. If you work a physical job, maybe you don't need to exercise that much. Maybe you need to stretch every morning. But what I've realized that when you work an office job, you need to go exercise. Otherwise, your body will be full of stress. And God will tell you those things. He will lead you and guide you. Amen? Point number two. Well, one more story. My pastor, Pastor Judy, a few months ago, got into the hospital out of nowhere. Kidney shut down. Maybe you heard it. We prayed about her. She goes to the hospital. They say, your kidneys are messed up. We don't know what's wrong, but we need to operate. And she said, I have no peace. I would love for you to operate on me. But she said, I have no peace about it. And I'm going to follow what the God that I serve. He's not going to disappoint me. So she says, I'm going to wait. 2 days later, without surgery, it was some kind of an infection. And obviously the hand of God, yes, they gave her some kind of an antibiotic. But God was involved in that too. God works with man. God works with man. We're co-laborers with Christ. God is not just going to throw some food to the poor people. We got to work with Him. Amen. God is not going to visit somebody in prison. We got to go and do it. Amen. God works with us and through us. Listen to the peace that speaks to you. God will speak to you through peace. Point number two. Bible says that we should seek peace. Psalm 34:14 says this. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I want to talk to you about what we seek. What do people mostly seek? Very much. They seek money, right? They seek success. They seek approval, fame, recognition. God says, I want you to seek peace and pursue it. When we wake up in the morning, the natural tendency is to get things done. I got so much to do today. And it's unnatural for us to slow down and seek peace. I know they do it in the Eastern world, not in the Western world. We live in a very anxious times. And we have to make peace the priority. Because listen to me, church. If you don't get peace the natural way, the God's way, you will get peace through a pill with side effects. You'll go to a doctor and he'll give you peace. But it only comes with a pill. With side effects. There's a natural way for you to get peace. And that's going to God every morning. Bible says that we should seek peace through prayer. Philippians 4:6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. David says, early in the morning I will seek you, Lord. Why do you think he does that? Because he doesn't have anything else to do? Anything better to do? No. He says, I want to recharge my peace. Guys, have you ever had a cell phone that ran out of battery life? How many of you think it's stupid to charge your phone? Plug it in, right? No, it's not. Because if you don't charge your phone at the certain time, guess what? It will run out of battery at the time that you need it the most. And that's what happens. A lot of us, we start running. We don't have time to charge our peace battery. And so we start running, and then by 11 o'clock in the morning, we're so stressed out. We're ripping our hair out. We're snapping at everybody. We're gossiping, and we just, our body's running, and our adrenaline is running. No peace. I noticed something about cell phone batteries. When they die, as soon as you plug it in, they don't work right away. My iPhone has to charge up to 5% before it'll turn on. When I need it the most. And so some of us Christians, we go to God as soon as we run out of peace. We're anxious, stressed. We cuss our employees out or our boss out. And then we go to God. God, la, 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 la. We start praying. We open the Bible. We start, oh, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, and God says, slow down. It's not going to come that easy. Got to charge up 5 to 10% before I'm going to turn you on. Slow down. Slow down. Bible says, seek peace as you seek food. Seek peace as you seek a mate. Seek peace, amen, as the deer thirsts for water. David says, so my soul after you. Our peace comes from God. Our peace comes when we seek peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Point number 4. This is a good one. Guard your peace. Guard your peace. What's important to you? You will guard it. You keep your wallet pretty close. You keep your phone and you put a password so nobody gets in it. You guard what's important. I just got LifeLock or something like that because I didn't want to lose the pictures. And I started backing things up to outside server, hard drive, so I don't lose my pictures just in case my computer crashes. I have an old computer. We guard what's important to us. We guard money. We guard our house. We close the doors. We guard our car, right? When we go somewhere, you closed your car, right, on a parking lot? We guard our children. We make sure that nothing happens to them. We want to know where they're going. Whose house are they staying over at? Who are their parents? We guard things that are important to us. God says, put guard on peace. Guard your peace. There's many peace thieves out there. There's many peace killers out there. Just as Christ says, I have come to give you life to the fullest. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is after your peace first, because if he takes your peace, then he could take your love. He can take your joy. When there's no peace in a family, what happens? We snap at each other. Every little thing my wife says, I snap at her. Every little thing I say to her, she takes it wrong, right? There's no peace. God wants us to guard our peace. When we don't guard our peace, we start being anxious. We start getting stress, anger, hate, and things like that. So what's stealing your peace? Number one, there are certain people that could steal your peace. Whenever you're around them, they always got drama, mama. Every time, you just don't want to say nothing because as soon as you do, they'll take your peace. I have one person that comes to mind. Whenever I'm around, I try to be nice, but this person just has no peace. And just stresses you out. You don't want to be. As soon as you see his vehicle there, you don't want to go there. right? So some people will, some of you love to get into everybody's business. You want to know everybody's business, and that's why you have no peace. God says, mind your own business. Don't try to pull out a speck out of everybody else's eye while you have a 2x4 in your eye. Pull that out first. Maybe that's the 2x4 that you're seeing. And everybody you look at with that 2x4, it might be you. Another thing that steals our peace is when we spend too much money and we can't afford to pay rent. Come on. That's a big one. Thank you, sweetie. I hear you. Amen. God says, listen, watch where you spend your money. Be wise with your money. It's what you eat. It's what you drink. Guard your peace. Peace is easy to lose and hard to gain, just like money. It's easy to lose, hard to save. Guard your peace. Some of our sicknesses, some of our headaches are because we've just been running so long without peace. We've been running on fumes, as they say. And now you're ready to crack. Relax. I know that after elections, half of the country is depressed because half of the country is lost. Some of you are happy. Some of you are, but listen to me. Doesn't matter who won, God is still in control, and you need to have peace. You need to keep your peace. President cannot really do that much for you. It's what you do for yourself. With Obama, last 4 years, he was there, but it didn't affect me too much. Guys, listen, I don't want to get too political here. You know where I stand. So I don't want to go, if you voted for the other guy, you should be proud of yourself too. Because I know you didn't vote for his Mormonism. You voted for certain things that he stood for, right? Like life. I want to be very careful here because I don't want to, our church is not political. Church, Jesus didn't die for Democrats only or Republicans. He died for all. He's the Lord of all. Okay, so let's just get this straight. Now you still have to vote right, but Jesus died for all. Amen? But don't let it take your peace. Don't let it get you depressed. God is in control. He's the blesser of your life. Not Obama, not the government. God is the one who blesses you. God is the one who increases you. The word of God said Isaac sowed in a time of trouble and famine, and God made him reap in that year 100-fold. His blessing didn't come from a government or the king. His blessing came from the Lord. And besides, what did Abraham said when king of Sodom wanted to give him money? What did Abraham said? I will not take a shoelace from you. So you wouldn't say that king of Sodom made Abraham rich, but that you would always say it was God who made Abraham rich. I want it to be said that not the government, not anybody else, but God was the one who made me blessed. That's the best testimony. God was the one who made me blessed. So you can keep your peace because God is in control. Another thing, some of you think, well, America is a Christian country. It's not anymore. But this world is not a Christian country either. Jesus said, this world is not your home. You are an alien here, Bible says. As a Christian, your home, your citizenship is where? Heaven. So maybe it's a good reminder for us to say, hey, it's not the politicians that are going to support our faith or go against our faith. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. We're to seek kingdom of God. Number 5. This is a big one. And the last point is trust God for your future. Psalm 4:8. Let's put that up there, guys. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. A lot of our stress and anxiety comes because we don't know the future. Wouldn't you agree? Human beings want to know what's going to happen to us. That's why we have so much fortune tellers, horoscopes, astrology, psychics, and mediums. People go to who? They go to these places, and these places God forbids us to go to. If God is not going to reveal to you who's going to be the next president, don't go to a witch doctor to get it, okay? God wants us to get our future from this word. You know, this word speaks about your future, my future. Amen. Or a lot of people don't even start that day till they read the horoscopes. And usually then they try to live by that horoscope. That's a whole bunch of Joe Biden's name, malarkey. That's a whole bunch of, not going to say the word. Yes, they can't tell you your future. They could scare you to believe that something is going to happen to you. Only God knows our future. And if he didn't reveal it to you, you don't need to know. He says, just trust in me. When I go to the Word of God, it never depresses me. It never puts you down. It never says something bad is going to happen. Faith says something good is going to happen. God is going to bring you through. He is your shepherd. He is your bodyguard. You got a personal bodyguard. The Lord. His angel surrounds those who fear him and delivers them from all their trouble. Hallelujah. Why would I go to a fortune teller who's going to lie? Who's going to guess? I'm going to go to the Lord. If he doesn't tell me, then he doesn't tell me. I'm going to trust that he knows what's best for me. Don't allow the worry about tomorrow. What if I get cancer? I feel like I'm going to get cancer. I feel like I'm going to get cancer. I've seen people who said that. I had friends who said that, and they got cancer. What we fear sometimes come upon us. God says, no, no, no. Job says, what you fear will come upon you. No, no, I'm not going to fear. I feel like I'm going to get into accident. I feel like I'm going to get into accident. I have no peace. I have... Chill. Go to the Word of God. The angels are protecting you. They're around you. His hedge is there. Satan cannot touch you unless he asks God for permission. And if God is going to permit it, then he's going to deliver you through it. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed by this? Hallelujah. So that's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. I got you. I'm on your side. Come to my secret place. David says, early in the morning, daily, I will seek you. Slow down in the morning, charge your battery. So you can have your phone working all day. Charge your spiritual battery in the morning, so your body and your mind will work properly the whole day. God is a God of peace. You already have peace inside of you. You have to guard it. You have to seek it. You have to protect it. You have to grow it. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Why is it a fruit, not a gift? For fruits, they start from a root, then flower, and then they produce. So they grow. Grow in peace. Pursue peace. Seek peace. Guard peace. Come to the source of your peace. Fill your life with that peace. Hallelujah. I feel like God has been doing a lot of work in this place. Hallelujah. If you're experiencing anxiety, stress, worry in your life, there might be a reason why. Maybe you say, there's a legitimate reason. I'm sick. I have a family who's member who's sick. My finances are in trouble, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't. But one thing I could tell you, that God wants to give you peace in the midst of you. While you're solving your problems, He wants to give you peace. And when you're stressed, you make wrong decisions. When you are at peace, you make right decisions. God, should I marry this person? I have no peace. Well, slow it down then. Don't have to run to the altar. Right? God, should I work at this job? They make me do certain things that I don't want to do. I have no peace. Listen to that peace of God. And it will guard your heart in Christ Jesus, Bible says. Peace of God will guard your heart. And Bible says, above all things, guard your heart. Because out of it flow the wellsprings of life. Guard your heart because life springs out. I'm not talking about breath. Life. Joy. Life. Hallelujah. I want to pray right now. I feel like the Spirit of God has been moving and He's did His work in you today. I know God said something to you today. I know He's encouraging some areas of your life, and He's correcting you in some areas of your life. And you know what to do. One thing I would ask, that you don't resist Him, but you yield. And maybe you can't do certain things today. Maybe you can't just go and rip some papers out today. But at least in your heart, you know what I gotta do. And in the right timing, I will get it done. I want to pray right now. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word that was spoken to us. I believe through your Spirit. I ask that you fill your people with peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I pray that your people would walk in love, that your people will walk by faith and not by fear, and not by sight of those things that are around them. That they, even when they go through tough times, they will not fear because you are with us. Bless your people with peace. Bless your people with peace, Lord. Bless your people with peace, Lord. Peace in the family, peace in the workplace, peace on the road, Lord. And peace as they sleep and rest in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for what you've done in the last 4 weeks in this church in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we honor you. Now, if you feel like God is calling you to give your life to Him, I'm going to count to three. And on a count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Maybe you walked away from God and you have no peace. Because our starting place is when we of peace is giving our life to God. Maybe you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I had a guy last week who came here because his girlfriend forced him. And he said, I don't know what happened during the service. I was not planning to give my life to God. I didn't even call an altar call last week. But he said, he said something happened to me and inside of me, I gave my life to God without even raising his hand. Hallelujah. God is calling you. He loves you. He wants to come in and be the Lord of your life. His future for you, His thoughts for you are of peace and of prosperity. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know that thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you and give you peace. Hallelujah. On a count of three, everybody please keep your eyes closed. On a count of three, would you raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ? One, two, three, please raise your hand. One hand, two, three, four. Come on, raise them high. Five, thank you. Six, thank you. Seven, thank you so much. Come on, church, clap your hands. Now we're all going to pray together. Say, Jesus, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Live in me. Produce in me new desires and new future. From this day forth, I believe that I'm forgiven and I'm a child of God. In the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Say louder, amen.